Today is Friday. It's the 16th, and it's the nonsense day. Plus some other stories, but
security,
mostly nonsense.
A lot of security nonsense, and our first story is certainly nonsensical.
We had an election.
But in a very serious way, and it's sad nonsense.
Voting machine manual instructed election officials to use weak passwords. And so, where's the picture of it? Scroll on down there. There you go.
So, yeah, they're telling you, hey, use a real simple password so you don't forget it. And, oh, there's two passwords. There's admin and root. So make them both pretty simple. They're going to give you some examples here. They black those out. And just swap those when it comes to password reset time. Because just memorize them both and swap them out rather than come up with new passwords.
So Putin1 would be a good password, right?
Well, if that's easy for you to remember. Is that your dog's name?
Aw.
Rue1.
So, yeah, it's an example of the voting machines themselves had maybe okay security, probably not, but at least they tried. And they tried.
it's like the lowest level of trying.
Well, they
though.
Forced a password update, right? Every so many, I don't know if it's 3 months or whatever. But then the support team just gave them. But you do have to think about, like, who's the audience? Who's working those polling stations?
Probably older people just who have the free
this
time.
This side toward enemy.
Barely literate. I mean, the people who run the voting stations are usually not the most impressive people cognitively. So.
Sorry if you ran a polling station.
Not sorry. Well, Tencent, we talked about them, and they're getting some heat. They're being blamed for the blindness and the inattention of the Chinese youth.
Tencent will soon require Chinese users to present IDs to its video games. We've covered this before. This has been a sort of developing story over the last few months. But yeah, if you're an underage gamer, you're not going to be able to play past 9 p.m. And
you get 1 hour a day.
Yeah, and you get 1 hour a day. So you got to choose your game carefully.
That's it's kind of stupid. It's a stupid law, but it's also kind of like, man, can you imagine how much, like, will toxicity levels go down when you know you're not playing with, like, you know, a 15-year-old kid who plays all day doing nothing else?
Well, but think about this. You've only got 1 hour to grind out as many drops as you can in Fortnite. And some idiot on your team ruins your run.
Oh, yeah. Actually, maybe it'll increase toxicity.
I wonder if this is a little bit juxtaposed with some of the stuff that we have here. Because, you know, in China, it's like we don't trust the citizenry to parent correctly. And here, it's like, well, you have the freedom to parent badly. But then the results of that after they grow up are often worse than perhaps it was. I don't know.
Which one's worse? Maybe they're both terrible.
Well, I think we've always had bad parenting. The internet has changed it in the sense that those people can find other people like them. And it can be reinforced.
It's exposed more often, too.
Those people's terribleness can have gone global.
And they can, rather than being forced to adapt to the world around them, they can just simply go into that world and be accepted.
So maybe they'll all move together in some town somewhere.
No, because they're doing the neat thing. So they're living at home, but they're completely disassociated. Aside from the Hot Pockets and Tendies.
Pizza rolls.
Yeah, they're just living online. So,
well, we need those people. We need those people to find our zero-day exploits.
I don't think those are the people who are doing it. Honestly.
Probably not. Oh.
Researchers break edge with zero-day remote code exploit.
This is Microsoft's new browser to replace IE, Edge. This is a series of bugs, actually, that they use to exploit in order to get access outside of Edge.
Here's a screenshot, a proof of concept where they've passed something into the URL and they've gotten the old calculator to run.
Now, that's terrifying.
The calculator is not an Edge plugin. That's the Windows calculator. So that's a problem. Yeah, they've released that. And I think they gave Microsoft a little bit of a heads up, but not much.
This means that I have just another 100th reason to send to a client who keeps saying, I need to use IE. And it's like, no, don't use Edge, don't use IE. Just
they're not going to comprehend that. They'll be like, you'll get an email back. It's like, I don't even use the calculator, so don't worry.
Don't worry, it's fine.
In a world of this side toward enemy, that's That's just reality.
Well, how about IronChat? I had not previously heard of IronChat, but IronChat is an end-to-end total encryption chat app. And a lot of people, it seems, at least in the Netherlands, were using it thinking that they could communicate about their crime with impunity.
Nope. A weakness has allowed cops to monitor encrypted messages for some time. Now, I'd just like to point out that this is okay. Like, as opposed to mandated government backdoors, this is perfectly fine.
They figured it out themselves.
Yes. And you can make the argument for law enforcement, this is actually better. Because what happened here is these people, thinking that they were totally safe, incriminated themselves a lot.
So As it turns out.
They busted some arms shipments, drug shipments. I think there was like some prostitution stuff in there. Although in the Netherlands, that might be legal. But yeah, they somehow... Now, nobody's sure how they actually broke this because it's end-to-end encryption. They're thinking that it might just be user error and the police figured out how to pass another key to these people, making them think that they were the recipient. And the UI for this program was just bad. And so there was a tiny little font that was like, hey, this person's key has changed. Does that seem weird? And they ignored it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe.
It's probably fine.
And this is why UI is important.
It's like, what is this little message? Ah, it's nothing. Go ahead and deliver the cocaine. You know?
Speaking of government-mandated backdoors.
Well, Cisco is so ahead of the curve that they were putting backdoors in before it was cool.
Cisco has removed its 7th backdoor account this year. And that's a good thing?
Well, it's better than leaving it, I guess, comparatively. We've done a story every time this has happened. And yeah, it does seem like Cisco... Now, in some cases, these were companies that they acquired. So...
And then just never checked on again.
Yeah, maybe give them a little bit of latitude there. But yeah, they decided to do a full audit on all their stuff. And the findings have been bad.
You have a great product. Let's buy your company and never speak of this again.
Yeah. Well, another problem that will affect those of us here in the U.S. is, and I'd never heard of this, this is informed delivery.
So the U.S. Secret Service warns that identity theft thieves are on to abusing the USPS's mail scanning service. So who knew? Our postal service has a mail scanning service.
Actually,
who wouldn't have guessed
everybody
that?
Knew that.
Yeah.
They take a picture of everything that goes through there, which is incredible. Like, what is the size of that database? And what they'll actually do as a service, for example, some people, and I don't know who these crazy people are, just won't check their mail.
Listen, I check my mail, just not frequently, because 90% of it is spam.
And I guess that's a common thing. So what the Postal Service is saying is, hey, what we'll do is we'll send you a picture of your mail before it gets to you. And that way you know if something important is coming, like a credit card or checks from your bank or something like that. But the problem is they'll basically just let anybody sign up for your service.
It doesn't mail you a card with a code or anything on it like it should.
So criminals have been doing that and knowing exactly when something valuable shows up in your mailbox, and they're there to get it.
Like a credit card.
So they're looking at putting some safeguards into that, but... It's a little late. A little late. And you know what else is a little late? I don't even know if they're doing anything about this, but cybersecurity in Pakistan.
Yeah, almost all the Pakistani banks have been hacked in a security breach, says the FIA cybercrime head. So banking in Pakistan, thoroughly compromised.
Not really a thing anymore. I think they've just locked down the country. You can't spend money.
Well, you can inside the country. They're not letting any payments go outside the country.
Till they get this whole mess sorted out.
Because they assume that these are external actors trying to funnel money out of the country. But they have no idea exactly how it happened or who's doing it. They just know that, and this is not like the bank itself losing money. These are individual people's accounts being drained of money.
See, my granny used to keep money in the freezer in a jar. And now I'm starting to think, maybe that's not such a bad idea. Maybe Great Depression Granny was right. Maybe... Keeping money in the freezer under a mattress makes sense.
Till they make cash illegal. Then you got so much fire starter there. Well, everybody loves drones. We got the holiday coming up. You might be thinking, I want a drone under the tree. Are you going to give a gift of a drone?
They're looking at the Amazon gift guide from our previous episode.
The toy catalog. Well, you might want to rethink it if it's a DJI drone that you've got.
Which, that's like the big name in drones.
It is.
Yeah. It turns out there's a vulnerability in the drone that's so bad that you can see the flight history of the drone, and you can get real-time video of it if it's connected, and just like the worst vulnerability you can imagine.
Your payment information.
Now, supposedly it's been patched, but before it was patched, it might have been a global surveillance network without anyone really realizing.
Yeah, so the Chinese apparently, according to the government agencies, the Chinese are really interested in our infrastructure. Like, oh, here's a bridge that if it were to blow up would cause some problems. So how would they get physical data on those structures without actually coming here and spying? Well, a lot of people like to fly their drones around.
Like the world's best drone.
Yeah, look at this river. Look at me fly my drone around on this river.
There was some lo-fi hip-hop. Put it on my YouTube channel, drone shot.
So yeah, they might have all that. As well as, you know, all the where the drones have been, which would lead them back to your house in a lot of cases. Payment info. It's bad. But, you know, that's the price we pay, right? For our wonderful drones.
And our Amazon toy catalog.
Speaking of arms races and technology.
Yeah, we've talked about ad blockers. And many of you were very vocal back before we were using an ad blocker. You let us know over and over.
Use an ad blocker.
To use an ad blocker. And you still complain about Adblock Plus. But someone invented a perceptual ad blocker. Now, a perceptual ad blocker is an ad blocker that doesn't use a blacklist. Or what's the politically correct term for blacklist?
A disallowed list.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever it is. Pretend I used your magical new language. And so instead of using that, it uses an AI to look at each individual ad and try to determine whether it's an ad. Well, some researchers have played around with that and basically...
it's good.
Is it?
No, it's not good.
It was defeated.
The opposite.
It was soundly defeated.
You know that banana sticker problem that AI has, where you can put a little sticker next to the banana, and it's like, I don't know what this is. Turns out,
isn't there? There's screenshots here, right?
Well, it shows you. Kind of. I mean, it shows you like the AI thinks this is an ad, but this is not an ad. So this is an example of them using some trickery to cause the AI to target actual content and get rid of it. So that's the kind of thing they can do. And they warn that this will be an arms race. Like if you put up, here's some more instances of them doing things like that. So they talk about if the perceptual ad blocker becomes a thing, then the ad companies are going to just pour money into defeating it like this.
Like the little sticker things.
And it's going to become awful. They also talk about how perceptual ad blockers are often resource and memory hungry, and they could find ways to just bog them down. So they would ruin your browsing experience if you're using one of these things.
It seems like it would be easy to defeat using an inspect element type approach where, you know, it's basically crowdsourcing, but you send the, you know, where it is on the page and what the URL is and the dimensions of the element and that kind of thing. And it uses that to get rid of that if enough people are like, I don't want to see this anymore. And so rather than do it heuristically, it just ends up being a huge database.
But then what if you use some kind of farm to like just start turning off your competitor's stuff?
Yeah, I was going to say that
would be amazing.
Open to abuse.
Well, speaking of cybersecurity and malware, the U.S. government, in which it's a move that maybe invites retaliation. I don't know if we're in a glass house here, but they've decided to attack the Ruskies.
The U.S. military just publicly dumped the Russian government malware online. So they uploaded it to VirusTotal, which is like an analysis engine thingy. And so now it's available in the public. And U.S. Cyber Command, which is like the best name ever, it's a part of the military, is going to be doing that for a lot more malware to try to raise awareness, which is honestly something they should have been doing for the last 10 years anyway.
U.S. Cyber Command sounds like a DOS game.
It sounds like Battlestar Galactica. It's like U.S. Cyber Command was responsible for the creation of the Cylons, which wiped out the human race.
I was going to say it could be something in that Destiny 2 game we've been playing, where they just like mash together random words for names of things.
But those are much more epic, those names.
Yeah.
If I was ever in charge of a unit in U.S. Cyber Command, I would make everyone acknowledge my orders with "by your command."
you own a business. You could make us refer to you that way.
No, we're not going to do that.
You could force that. It would probably not make you very popular.
Well, Oracle has their solution, VirtualBox, and if you're using it, I've got some bad news for you.
You can break out of VirtualBox. This is actually a fascinating vulnerability. So it has to do with the Intel E1000 driver. It's coded so badly. It's sort of a para virtualized driver, and it's coded so badly that you can escape from the virtual network driver into the host operating system and get it to do arbitrary things. And this guy was kind of pissed off from going through. I gather it was like the Oracle bug submission process, and he finally just got so fed up that he was like, you know what, I'm just going to post it online. This will work itself out.
He's got a little manifesto that's in that article. It's kind of funny because it's in this broken English. And it's basically like, you know, I keep finding your bugs and you keep treating me poorly, so I'm just going to release this right now and embarrass you as you know, the sum of it. So he didn't give them any time to fix it. Well, actually, I think what he gave them, like 15 days or something. Yeah. But the last time he did this with them, it took, was it 6 months?
Yeah.
So he's like, we're not playing that game again. Here it is. Do what you want with it. Now, this is not, isn't going to affect like the Amazon buckets and stuff like that.
No.
Because that's a different kind of thing. This is only if you run this specific
VirtualBox. So. Well, a lot of people do run VirtualBox to try to, if you run VirtualBox for suspect code, like, I don't know if this attachment is safe, let me open it up in a VirtualBox virtual machine. That would be bad because now it could escape from its sandbox.
Right. Malware testing is something they use this for a lot. And that's one of the fears is like, now you can't just test malware and be safe because the malware could have something built into it for anti-testing. That will break out of your box and infect your machine.
That'd be bad.
Yeah. So.
Time for nonsense.
Not too really. Bad. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is.
This is absolutely nonsense.
Moved into the nonsense section. I don't see how you would think this article isn't nonsense.
Well, because, we covered robot in the last episode.
Because it has to do with a robot butt.
A robot butt what?
THICC. Thick.
I was hoping we were going to do something like Abbott and Costello's Who's On First, but there's just not enough butts in here to do that.
You think this is a male or a female robot butt? It's kind of curvy.
I thought it was going to be an attack helicopter.
It's got to be an attack helicopter. I mean, that servo is definitely an attack helicopter.
So this butt will smash the phones.
Like button.
It could.
It could.
While it's, because it can butt-like.
Yeah.
It can butt-like on the.
Butt-like now with your phone.
Samsung wants to know what happens when you sit on your phone 1,000 times, right? And the butt robot.
Is there any software that we can deploy to prevent butt dialing?
Maybe that's what that's testing.
Yeah, I don't think so. This is actually the article. They use this for the headline, obviously, because it's about a butt.
But
the article talks about a lot of the Samsung testing facility, which is kind of impressive. All the various little ways that they try to abuse their phones to figure out what's going to happen to them.
The question I have about the butt robot is it sitting with the same amount of force every time? Because frankly, I don't think that's a realistic test condition.
I bet it changes it up.
This testing lab really explains a lot about Samsung's line, because ever since the Galaxy S3 was amazing because you could throw that thing down a flight of stairs and it would basically explode, but you could reassemble it and it was fine. It wouldn't break the glass. It was awesome. But then somewhere about the Galaxy S6, you can drop the phone about 3 times before it's irretrievably destroyed.
That's probably, like, we think that this is all about making them more durable.
No.
That's probably just to get the durability at exactly that point.
3 drops.
Yeah. Well, if you're a Microsoft employee, you might they're doing some renovation. They're changing up their campus. They're tearing down some buildings. They're building some new ones. And what if you're lost? What if you don't know what you're going to do? Where to go? Like, where do I go for HR so that I can sue because you sexually harassed me? Well, don't worry. There's an easy way for you to find out.
You open up your laptop, you fire up your Minecraft, and you go on and you explore the campus virtually.
Microsoft's current campus is sort of funny because
there's pictures of it there.
It grew organically over time, and the hamlet that it grew up in didn't have a fire department that could handle buildings over 2 stories. So pretty much every building on the Microsoft campus is like 2 stories. But they finally are allowed to build bigger buildings now, and so there's just tons of construction going on, and yeah, it's in Minecraft. 'Cause
I did this.
Yeah.
When I moved into my apartment years ago.
On a smaller scale.
On a much smaller scale. A friend of mine was like, hey, what's your new apartment look like? And instead of showing her photos, I opened up my laptop and I was like, I built it in Minecraft so you can see. And she was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
And that's why you're on the level one news.
Yeah.
She patted you on the head. She said, oh, Krista.
she was like embarrassed for me. I was like, well, it works. She's like, this doesn't look anything like an apartment. They didn't even have carpets in that version. It's an old time.
Well, old patch. Let's imagine that maybe some of our viewers were a victim of the October Windows 10 update that deleted all of their files. And they might be saying to themselves, everything that's come out of Bill Gates is shit.
And they'd be right.
What a crock of poop.
More right than they know.
How Bill Gates aims to save $233 billion by reinventing the toilet.
My favorite quote from this article was Bill Gates says that, I never thought I'd know so much about poop, and I never thought Melinda would ask me to stop talking about poop at the dinner table.
Well.
Because before this, they've talked about nothing but scat play at the dinner table. She's open to that. She doesn't want to hear about the toilets. So these are actually some impressive toilet designs. There's more than one. But the idea is, there are places in the world where people are pooping in the streets. That's just the reality. It's 2018, and people are pooping in the streets. Some of those countries have space programs.
Have you been to New York? Seriously.
So that's not the country I'm talking about. No. So the idea is, how do you get people to install toilets in those places where they are not motivated to do so? And Bill Gates thinks he has the answer.
He actually talks a lot about the different innovative poop technologies that they've come up with. And they talk about using the technology not just for human waste, but also farm waste as well.
I've actually heard of these in China, in rural China. They've got those gas bleeders where you got like a compost and it bleeds the hydrogen and the gas separator. And then you use that to run your stove or whatever because you don't have electricity. So this is kind of builds on that in the sense, but it also creates fertilizer out of the waste.
Nitrogen, that nitrogen cycle.
So you actually, the more poop that you can run through this toilet, the more money you're going to make out of fuel and fertilizer.
The toilet can handle an unlimited poop capacity. Just unlimited.
There's a lot of problems with using human waste as fertilizer. I'm curious about how they treat it.
This treats it, yeah.
Yeah.
So
in a low, low cost way. It's like 5 cents a gallon or less. Or no, 5 cents.
5 cents a day. So you're running the toilet for 5 cents a day, but you're actually generating more revenue than that. This is a money-making toilet. So
you're saying we need to invest in one of these for the office?
Well, I would invest in anything if a $200 million investment becomes a $233 billion return. Can't at that scale, but that kind of a return is insane.
Yeah. Of course, that's if this company gets chosen. Mm. Now, what's probably going to happen is these countries that we're talking about that will remain unnamed will be like, oh, we can do our own version of that, and it'll be a disaster.
Also known as the New York subway.
Well, what's sad is that like all the corruption in the various countries, it's like probably going to take all of the profit away from it. And then it won't solve the problem it was designed to solve. Bill Gates can't solve corruption.
He's going to try though. Well, we don't talk much about Bitcoin mining anymore. It's fallen out of popularity with the price of Bitcoin.
It's just not a hit anymore.
These days, is it like for the average electricity cost, are we at a loss at this point?
Yeah, yeah. Unless your electricity's free.
Yeah, so it's hard to make any money mining Bitcoin. And this Chinese headmaster discovered that, but he had a novel solution.
He's in charge of a school. Schools have computer labs and they need a lot of electricity. So he set up a secret coin mining facility at the school. And they asked him about it and he's like, it's just the air conditioning or the heating or something. It's probably fine.
So he had 8 rigs, I believe, like this. You can see here what he's got going on. And his assistant discovered his dark secret. So what did they do? Did they turn him in? They added a 9th rig
dedicated to the assistant. He's like, I should do that too. I need some money.
Which exacerbated the problem, really.
Yeah. But these were the two gentlemen who would be warned about all the electricity overages. And they were just like, no, that's normal. It's okay. But eventually they were found out and he has been terminated. The assistant got to stay.
He's been so one rig is fine. It's
well, they didn't let him keep the mining rig. They did have to give the coins back, but that was a good plan until it didn't work.
We've got level one breaking news for you. Evidence of an alien civilization.
This story made a lot of people were very happy seeing this. So you got a Harvard researcher, you know, that's got some weight behind the name. And he has claimed that the recent interstellar object that we have observed could not have been anything except for an alien.
Just because of the way it's moving, correct?
Yeah.
It was moving in such a way. Yeah, that it so didn't you can sort sense. Of,
it was in the sun's gravity well, but it did not move with that orbit. It somehow powered out of its orbit and changed directions. So how does it work?
One theory was that it's a light sail. Like the math works out if it's a very thin material that is reflective enough to, like almost 100% reflective, which seems like a piece of a solar sail. So that's what this researcher is suggesting. Is like it wasn't necessarily like an alien spacecraft, or it doesn't have it has unexplained acceleration, I guess, or unexplained movement, but it could have been something like a piece of a solar sail. And when it caught the sun, that's what changed its trajectory.
Yeah, he theorizes it's not visiting aliens, but more like there was an alien fender bender somewhere, and somebody lost a solar sail, and they were just like, oh, whatever, the insurance will get it. Just leave it there. And it eventually floated into our little galaxy, and...
Neat.
There we are.
Then the insurance person never came for it, because it was like, oh, that place is a dump.
They totaled it. Yeah, they totaled that spaceship.
Don't we have space probes? Turn one of those around and get it, you know, make a beeline for that. Might take 20 years to intercept it.
I don't think we'd get one out there fast enough.
No, we've got Voyager and like the other one that's near the edge of the solar system.
Do they have the fuel to accelerate?
Yeah, just no. To randomly chase something
they're
down.
We just lost Kepler. We can't risk anymore.
The conspiracy theorist in me is like, you know, they shut down that solar observatory when this thing was passing, when it could have observed something passing near the sun. And the other thing, like the satellite in orbit failed. It's just all this stuff happening at once when we really need to look at this thing that's passing close to the sun. I don't know.
Except we totally observed it.
Yeah, we did.
There's news articles reporting on it right now.
We totally got some pretty good imagery of it.
Now, if you are a regular viewer of Level One News, and you should be, or if you watch our Twitch stream ever, you are familiar with the greatest member of the Level One team who's never on camera. And that's the Boiler Snake.
The Boiler Snake has its own coat of arms on our subreddit, which is nice.
The Boiler Snake is... he doesn't really ever... say much on the news, except sometimes there'll be a story that he feels strongly about, and he will make loud banging noises. That's how he communicates.
And hissing.
He selected the wallpaper this week as well.
And he is not alone in terms of being vocal as a heat source.
Reports of an active shooter at an NC school turned out to be a malfunctioning water heater. Topsail High School. But it's interesting because they arrested a bunch of students. One student had a bunch of knives strapped to his leg.
What is happening here?
Some other student went to his car and armed himself with a rifle for defensive purposes, of course. But it was just like, Jesus, guys.
That's where I went to school.
It turns out at any given time, the high schoolers are, you know, up to something. But there was no active shooter. It was simply a heater that was making himself known. One of the Boiler Snakes' distant cousins in North Carolina.
Am I imagining it? But when I was in high school, there were people that had trucks with like a hunting rifle in the back.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was normal.
Yeah.
Or like a lot of guys I knew just carried a knife. Like everyone carried knives in high school. That was a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There was there were probably some rules against it, but there was sort of a common sense policy.
Yeah.
So. Well, I know like the ROTC would perform with firearms on the grounds. Like you would look out your classroom window and there would be like, you know, 12 armed students doing...
Well, those were plugs.
Oh, okay.
They didn't actually let them have live ammo or anything. Well, we talk a lot about the self-driving car revolution. And it seems like from the comments and from everybody you talk to, most people are against it. But once you read this headline, you might change your mind.
Self-driving cars could function as moving brothels, academics predict. So there's a lot of upsides for... having a self-driving van be a brothel.
You know who this is bad news for? The auto detailing business.
I was going to say the madams who run the brothel, but...
I was just thinking...
they could have an app.
It's like, to pay for the app development, you've already got your, you know, ancient 50-year-old building.
Vehicle 37 is on the way.
Yeah, so the idea here is, you know, a brothel gets busted, and or if you're doing, like, the Craigslist hookers, you have to risk going to some guy's house, and he might be a serial killer. Or if you're on the other side of the equation, you're going to, and yes, I'm definitely saying that, the female is the sex worker and the male is the customer. And I'm sorry, but...
You know, yeah, the telegraph.co.uk article is fairly specific.
Yeah, and so if you're the guy and you're paying, you might be talking to a cop. And you might be walking into a sting. Well, you can solve some of those problems by having a mobile sex...
dungeon.
Well, it could be a dungeon.
This takes van life to a new... That's true.
They have some really impressive buses for that sort of thing in Vegas.
So, well, that, I don't think that's going to give you the privacy that you want. But one of those windowless panel vans?
Yeah, like what you see for, you know, hashtag van life.
Or that, free candy.
That drives itself. And so, you know, it picks you up. You drives you around for an hour. It can even time it. It can time the trip to get you back home after exactly 1 hour.
I think I figured out the event that causes Skynet to want to wipe humanity from the face of the earth.
It's a van that has to experience all these horrible sex acts.
Yeah. I'm just imagining like one of the Futurama robot personalities that's like, everybody hop in. And then the AI just knows what's coming and it's just sad.
This is also going to be like, do you think Carfax?
What's the Carfax category for
like,
this?
You look at, it's like, this vehicle has been used for fleet or rental or prostitution.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah.
That's a dark timeline.
There have been other stories that suggested that not for prostitution, but a lot of people will be having sex during the commute with self-driving cars.
I wonder if there will ever be a time when the AI is self-driving, but is not aware enough to know what's going on. Because, like, eventually, imagine the AI gets quite good. And so, eventually, it's like the manufacturer that makes the AI, it's like, you know, roving sex vehicles are not allowed. Yeah. And so, there would be a used market where, like, you know, the vintage 2025 panel van is selling for, like, $100,000 because the AI is not good enough to know that it's a sex robot.
Or it could have just, like, you know, suspension detection. It's like suspension activity detected in the cabin. Pull over to the side of the road.
I'd like to revisit the thought that people would be having sex on their commute, because I think I would just use commute time to sleep. Like, get dressed and then just get in your car and fall asleep until you get to your destination.
Did you say revisit the thought?
Revisit the thought.
Because that's what you'd be doing many times.
Do you think we'll ever see, like, because I can imagine that you eventually just have a sleeping pod. And, like, you just, like, for the commutes, for the people that have really long commutes, like, you just go to sleep in your sleeping pod, and at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning, your sleeping pod embarks on taking you to work.
But that would be terrible, terrible congestion, because everybody's going to have one of those.
Yeah, not necessarily. But you'd have to shower and get ready at work and stuff, but you would be able to sleep longer, so that'd be pretty neat.
You could do that before you got in your pod.
Yeah, get ready for the
work. It depends on, like, what you're wearing, too, though. Like, if you're wearing, like, pantyhose, you don't really want to sleep in that. But as you guys clearly know.
What if it just, like, suspends you with some straps? So, you know, you like, your hair doesn't get messed up. You're just hanging around.
The pantyhose, though, they're tight. They're not comfortable to sleep in.
Oh, okay.
There are definitely people I know that are so uncomfortable flying that they'll take one of those pills that knocks them out. And it's just like, oh, this is a 7-hour flight. All right, I've got a pill that knocks me out for 6.5 hours. I'll be fine. And they literally, like, you can't. They're just out.
Is one of those people B.A. Baracus?
I have no trouble sleeping on a flight.
Chris doesn't get it.
He can't. They always had to knock him out when he had to fly. Like, they would just usually give him a concussion or something.
But they talk about in this article what you're talking about, which is, like, I want to see the Grand Canyon, but I'm not willing to go through all that horrible travel stuff. But what if you could just be living in your car and on your way to the Grand Canyon?
Hashtag van life.
But it's going to cause terrible, terrible congestion and crowds, because people are just randomly showing up places. And instead of a bus full of people or a plane full of people,
it's just hundreds of vans.
They're going to be 100 vans, yeah.
And the van, you can tell, to just drive around until it finds a parking place, which may be endlessly.
Exactly.
Right. Well, some of those at least some of the like national parks and stuff, they make you actually book a place in advance because so many people come to visit them every year.
But who's going to stop you if you're just constantly mobile?
There's not going to be any parking spots. And when you go out, like to go in the park, you have to check in with the forestry office.
Okay, so you get out and you tell your car to drive back to wherever and go park at Walmart and come and get me at 3 o'clock.
Assuming you can get into the park at all.
Well, you're on foot. You just sneak in.
I don't think that's how it works.
Listen, there's going to be some guerrilla tactics from these van people.
Probably. I don't know because none of the parks out east really have that problem, but I know some of the western parks do.
The rambling is a sign that it's our cue to go.
Yeah, this is the last story.
We'll see you next week.